Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! Oh, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in. We're live in the Big X Sports Radio studios for this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report, and we are glad to have you with us. Lots to get to, some guests that are going to join us today. Always a busy hour when you're with us here on the show. Don't forget we do this weekdays, 11 a.m., the live program. Most days you can catch us the replay at 3 o'clock. Of course, we've been picking up some Governor Holcomb press conferences, most of those at 2:30 from Indianapolis, and so we don't always get on right at 3 with the replay, but we think it's really important to pick up some of that news and community-oriented stuff, especially with COVID-19 surging in the state and surging in the country. But make sure you join us each day. If you can't catch us on the Big X, 1450 AM, 96.1 FM, don't forget we're also available as a podcast. We are on SoundCloud. We are on Apple Podcast. Two very easy ways to locate our show each and every day here on the Hoosier Report. Let's do our daily COVID-19 update. And I've got, you know, news. I think we all understand by this point the numbers are going to get worse locally across the country, even right here in Clark and Floyd counties. The deaths, at least in our state, we hope not locally that often, and our country are going to go up each day. But in Indiana, as of midnight, basically, when the numbers update for all the tests that have been submitted, 2,565 positive cases, up 16 deaths, with yesterday's numbers included, now 65 deaths in the Hoosier State related somehow, some way to COVID-19, and a big jump in total number tested, 14,375 have been tested. 1,117, so over 1,100 people positive in the state's capital. That's Marion County, Indianapolis, that metropolitan area. In southern Indiana, we now have over 60 cases if you add up Clark and Floyd counties. At last report, this is even updated since the numbers last night, Clark County at 38 positive cases in Clark County, Floyd County up to 24 cases, and you saw the letter yesterday from the chief medical officer at Baptist Health Floyd. Lots of tests out there that they're waiting to come back with people that had a symptom or were feeling ill that passed a pre-screening that gave them the ability to take a test, and so it's very likely that the number both locally in the state and the country continues to go up each day. If you look around Harrison County, they're at 15 cases as of the numbers last night. And a little to our north, Washington County, they have 9 cases reported. And also Scott County, as of now, just 1 case reported in Scott County as well. So that's kind of a look at the bad numbers. Normally we update scores and information and highlights and sports. These are not any of that. These are negative things that I'm only mentioning because I'm concerned, and I want you to be aware and concerned to make sure that you're staying home and staying away from people as well. We all get busy. We all want to stay busy. We all want to be around people. It's the natural thing to do. You know, I want to keep working. There's other things I want to be doing as well, but it's just not the right time, especially as we work through these next few weeks and beyond and see exactly how bad, how disastrous, I hate to use that word, but that things are going to get here in the area. And again, yesterday, if you needed any underscore, any reaffirming that this is serious and that this is affecting us locally, Floyd Clark County's was even, especially Floyd County, was listed as a hot spot by the doctor at Baptist Floyd Health that's dealing with all this, that lives in the community, that sees the hospital, that knows the testing. And when you hear something like that, that should be an absolute reminder that you got to stay in. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your health condition. You could have it now and have no clue, have no symptoms, be fine as can be, but you can pass it to others that it'll really put down. In fact, maybe even you lose them. So, again, just my public service announcement to remember to stay safe, stay at home during this period. I think the term that Eric Holcomb has used with the executive order and the social media, hunker down Hoosiers, and that's what we encourage everyone to do. Also a reminder, as we step up our news coverage here on the Big X, we have Governor Holcomb today at 2:30. He'll have an update along with the state of Indiana health officials on COVID-19. And there are some big announcements expected in the next, possibly today, possibly tomorrow. But from what it sounded like yesterday with Governor Holcomb's update then, he's going to make an announcement, a decision, at least some sort of update about school in Indiana. Will it restart May 1st? I personally don't see how that's going to be possible. The models that they mentioned yesterday still show we could be in the rise, the surge portion of this into May, into mid-May even. But he's going to make an announcement. He prepped this yesterday on education, on school in Indiana, and we'll see if that announcement is we're going to try to go back May 1st or if we're going to cancel school for the remainder of the year. But we expect that to come today or tomorrow, one of those announcements from Governor Holcomb, and we'll carry that here on the Big X. Also, we've been picking up Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, his press conference, his update from Frankfort, Kentucky. That's been each day at 5 o'clock. And then after the governors are done, we've even been getting President Trump and Dr. Fauci and other officials on a national level involved in this pandemic and updates each day. And we think that that should trump any kind of sports programming, any kind of network sports, something that's not local. We want to do our part to be good community partners. So we've got all that scheduled and ready for you to run later today here on the Big X. Let's take a look at the show lineup for today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news on this Wednesday. We'll get to that coming up here in just a few moments. Segment two, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. He joins as we talk some IU basketball, college basketball in the state, and college hoops in general. We'll talk some other things as well, but that's what Dustin normally covers with us when he joins us on Wednesdays. And then later in the show, Josh Cook, he's the sports editor at the News and Tribune. He joins today as we talk local sports. We're going to talk about spring sports. It just doesn't look like that's going to happen. Now, when we get more on the announcement from the governor about schools today or tomorrow, it sounds like at least, I think we'll have a much better picture on if spring sports are able to be played. Yesterday, Indiana announced some additional closures on their campus that's going to affect the state track meets, boys and girls, if those are run this season. So we'll talk about that with Josh and some other local things as well. Recruiting continues on. There's a lot of spring sport athletes that if they don't get a season, they're going to leave their high school careers without a senior night, without a recognition, without a last sectional, without a final chance to do some big things. Maybe it even hurts their recruitment in some of these sports. So we'll talk about that and more with Josh when he joins us later today. And then at the very end of the show, you hear me talk about it a lot, but Kerry Kimmer, he's the owner of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. He's going to join us for a real quick spot and tell you more about Honey Baked Ham, one of our great sponsors. They've been with us almost since the very beginning of this show, and they're still open and still doing a lot of business and got some good products. And he's going to talk with you about those real briefly at the end of the show as we wrap things up today. Don't forget, visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany for lunch and dinner options that you can get quickly in a clean and pleasant atmosphere without the crowds and chaos of the grocery stores. Honey Baked Ham has several dinner bundles as well as their delicious ham and turkey for takeout as well. Real quick, I haven't said this for a while, but want to encourage you to interact with the show. You got a comment, you got a question about anything we're talking about today or something you'd like to talk about, tweet me at Hoosier Hills, again, at Hoosier Hills, all one word on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook. The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison page. You just search for that in the search bar. Each day we put up our guest lineup, who's going to join us on the show, and what they're going to cover and some things like that. So it's a good way to interact and to stay up with our radio program each day. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. I tell you what, I've thought more and more about the NBA saying, at least a source in the New York Post, that they're going to be determined somehow, some way, to play the NBA Finals in a tournament format of some sort. 16 teams, one location. Louisville was mentioned as one of maybe five or six possibilities to host the whole thing. And wouldn't that be awesome? Even with no fans, it would be a great thing for Louisville and for this region, for Kentuckiana, which when there's summer league games in Vegas, when there is NBA draft on television, our area, our television market, which is the Louisville market, is always one of the best. We beat out NBA television markets that have a team in their market because we love basketball here in this area. But the more I think about it, and Greg Doyle kind of put the brakes on this for me yesterday, even without fans, I just believe it's going to be hard. I could see if the NBA organized, and this was mentioned, like a game, like a charity game maybe, where you had like 20, 24 players total divided by two teams, a couple coaches, you know, some personnel you got to have, officials, score clocks, statisticians, maybe you allow a pool of media in to represent everyone, but very limited, and do it in a practice facility, no fans, put it on ESPN, put it on CBS, ABC, whoever the NBA has a contract with, I don't even know at this time. Put it on national television on an evening, and the whole world would watch that game live. And it would be really neat, and people could donate money, and there could be so many things happen there. That, to me, sounds like a possibility. Now, I haven't heard any more about that for a couple weeks. But bringing 16 teams together of NBA players with this virus surging, I don't care if they've all been tested multiple times, one time, going to test them every day. I just don't see how it's possible. And I don't care if it's Louisville, Las Vegas, Hawaii, Bahamas, wherever they said they were considering for it. It, to me, would seem very unlikely between now and the NBA season, at least the traditional season, when it ends, when the finals normally are, even going back a few weeks or beyond after that, that the NBA happens. Now, you know, there's the article mentioned there's still the chance the plug could be pulled altogether, but, you know, what a fun deal that would be. What an awesome thing it would be if Louisville could truly host it. I just don't see how it happens, but we'll have to wait and see. I don't know what's going to happen right now with college football, with high school football, with so many things up in the air. But I think we'll find out more in the coming month. Maybe it might take 3-4 months, but I think we'll know a lot more about when sports can possibly, with or without fans, begin as we get through this big surge phase in a lot of our big cities, and even it looks like here in the state of Indiana. Lots of creative things happening right now. Kyle Neddenrip of the Star has a high school fantasy bracket of some of sorts featuring some of the great teams of all time. Alex Bozich at Inside the Hall, they've got the greatest Hoosier of all time. We're working on some things, obviously the virtual skills and drills with Hoosier Hills Hoops and Floyd County Parks. We're going to announce a new initiative here on this radio program coming up in just a few minutes to recognize senior athletes that play spring sports that are very likely going to lose that opportunity in a hole when school potentially is canceled and when it's realized it just simply can't be played. But one of the neat things the NBA is doing, it probably doesn't resonate with a lot of listeners of this show. It sure doesn't resonate much with me, but they have staged a NBA 2K, which is a video game, which is almost real life watching the game with how good the graphics and the setup is, but they have staged a 2K tournament that is going to include a lot of NBA players playing against each other on a video game, and they'll be behind the controls. I'm not sure exactly how they'll set it up so they can practice social distancing or if it'll have a camera in somebody's house and a camera in the opponent's house as they play each other, but this is definitely cool, and the kids will love it. They'll watch it on TV. They'll watch it afterwards on YouTube and NBA.com, I'm sure, but it's going to last 10 days, And I'm not sure. I think maybe it's going to begin this weekend. I'll have to look up the exact time frame. But so far, they've named some big stars. Kevin Durant is expected to participate in this 2K tournament. So hats off to the NBA. That will really resonate with the young people that play and live and die by that 2K game in NBA. No question about that. Other headlines today. I mentioned Trey Kaufman yesterday. His recruiting continues. And I saw an interview, a Q&A with him from the Daily Hoosier this morning. And the question to Trey was, what are your primary means of communicating with Indiana right now, like from a recruiting perspective? And Kaufman's response was, quote, FaceTime. It's actually pretty interesting. Coach Tom Ostrom told me he was going to call me every day that we're in quarantine. We're on day 14 today in a row. They have been calling me the most out of all the schools that have been looking at me. And that's, again, a quote from Trey Kaufman. When he talks about Coach Ostrom, he's talking about Tom Ostrom. He is Archie Miller's associate head coach at Indiana. So it sounds like Indiana, and obviously recruiting continues at least digitally and by telephone and by text message. But according to Trey Kaufman, Indiana focusing in during this stay-at-home period when they maybe think they can get more one-on-one time with a player, with the family, and FaceTime 14 days in a row, according to what Trey said in the interview. So for all of you that are up in arms about where Trey's going to go, does Indiana have a legitimate shot to get him? We know he was at IU multiple times this season, and clearly from what he says himself about Coach Ostrom in Indiana, 14 days in a row with Trey on FaceTime, that sounds good for Indiana. Who knows how it works? Who knows what direction it goes? But that is obviously good news for Indiana. Little look around the Big Ten. Maryland has landed a big transfer from Boston College, Jarius Hamilton. Big pickup. He's a 6'8" sophomore, averaged 9.5 points and 4.3 rebounds this season. And again, there is likely going to be a one-time transfer waiver. It's not been official yet. It's not been, I don't think, voted on yet. But if that happens, players like Jarius Hamilton going from BC to Maryland would be immediately eligible. Not just graduate transfers that have their undergraduate degree in hand. It would be anybody if this new one-time transfer rule goes through. A couple other headlines to mention. I saw Zach Osterman with this yesterday. IU has canceled all university and outside events on campus through July 31st. What that means is the IHSAA state track meet will not be in Bloomington this year if it's held at all. It's for the last number of years been on Indiana University's facilities. And athletics programs, their summer camps, they're all off. Archie Miller basketball camp, he's got some individual sessions, day camps, overnight camps, those are off. The Archie Miller team camp, which has been really good in getting top high school basketball programs from Indiana and from the Midwest on campus so they can see the facility, they can play some games on Assembly Hall, on Cook Hall, on those courts, be the, around the coaches can watch, even though it's technically a dead time as far as getting out and recruiting and watching games. It's been a big benefit to Indiana. You look back, they had some of the very best players and very best teams, many of those that ended up committing to Indiana, played on the Indiana campus. Christian Landers, Evansville Wright's team did. Silver Creek has done that with Trey Kaufman. Bloomington South has done that with Anthony Leal. So did Culver Academies with Trey Galloway. Many, many players that Indiana, even Jerome Hunter, his team came over from Ohio. It was a great day of games, played some Indiana teams, and he got an offer and subsequently committed to Indiana not long after the team camp on IU's campus. So that's a big deal that those are canceled. And, of course, that bars any on-campus practices, workouts, meetings. It affects football in a lot of ways. It affects a lot of sports, a lot of coaches in many, many ways. So that's something to keep an eye on as delays and closures continue to get pushed down the line here across not just our state, but Indiana as well. One quick thing to wrap up this first segment, senior spotlight for spring sports athletes. We're going to do one athlete per day starting today, later in the show here on the Hoosier Report. And my whole reason for doing this is that spring sport athletes here in southern Indiana and across the country are likely going to lose their senior year, their final outing, their last chance to go out and represent their high school, and it's really sad. They won't get a senior night, a senior day. I don't care if you're the best player on the team, you're the star pitcher, the star track runner. I don't care if you're somebody that's a backup. You've put a lot of work in, culminating for your senior season, and if I'm a betting man, I don't think any, we already know it would be abbreviated, really abbreviated if it happens in Indiana. I don't think there's any chance for spring sports. So we're going to have a senior spotlight each day here on the show for spring sport athletes, and we're going to take submissions. You listening today can submit your daughter, your son, a relative, someone that you live by, someone at your school you cheer for. I don't care who it is. We'll take submissions from all over Southern Indiana. I've got lots of friends. We all have lots of friends across the area. So we're going to take submissions from all of Southern Indiana, but we're going to most focus on highlighting on this show each day athletes from Clark and Floyd counties, from the schools in Clark and Floyd counties. And again, anyone can submit an athlete. Some athletic directors already have, some coaches already have. I even had one from a teacher, parents, fans, and I even want athletes themselves to submit themselves. There's no problem with that at all. This isn't a braggart thing. This is a hard work thing that you're going to get recognition taken from you. And it doesn't mean the same on your field or at your school to get the recognition in front of your fans that you would normally get in a senior day, a senior night setting with your family there and your coaches there. But on the radio, a lot of people listen to this show. A lot of people listen to the podcast. We're going to give you a big shout out on this program. So follow me on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. Again, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. I'll share this on the Big X Facebook page. It'll be all over the place later today. We've already had, I think, 10 nominations or more. Submit somebody that's important to you. Submit yourself for the work and efforts that you've put in. And later today, we'll be recognizing our first senior spotlight. It's Jeffersonville baseball player Gavin Siebold will recognize later in the show. It's going to be one of the last things we do each day before we wrap up. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Don't forget, Zaxby's is still open. Zaxby's has drive-through service, takeout service. Make sure you stop by with locations of Zaxby's in New Albany and Jeffersonville. One final note, virtual skills and drills on the Hoosier Hills Hoops Facebook page, presented by Floyd County Parks and Recreation and the Big X Sports Radio. Today, it's Christian Academy coach Steve Kerberg, day five of virtual skills and drills, and he's teaching some of the most important fundamentals of the game, meeting the pass and reverse pivots. Those are often overlooked, and Coach Kerberg digs in and has a great lesson for basketball players across the area today. Check that out at facebook.com/Hoosier Hills Hoops. We're headed to a break. We're back with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back here on this Wednesday program. Great to have you with us, and we continue on with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, who joins us each Wednesday. He covers IU, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic, lots of college basketball in the state of Indiana, and he joins us Wednesdays to talk about all of it here on the program. Dustin, again, times are different. I am used, this time of year at least, to having plenty of action, whether it's Indiana or general college basketball to talk about, but things are different, and I think we're all, with each day that passes, beginning to recognize this thing is a little more serious, and maybe gets more and more serious each day, especially in different parts of the country. And I got to tell you, even the numbers on COVID-19 in Indianapolis and some deaths that have affected some high school programs, I've seen some coaches and some support people, some fans, really starting to hit home, and I'm doing a lot better
without college basketball, because I've realized, I think we all have, that this is pretty serious. This is going to be around for a while. And, hey, it's okay if sports takes a back seat. We'll find a way to get through it together.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the more real it becomes, the more trivial it sounds like to think of, oh, man, how sad is it that there's no, you know, NCAA tournament? And it is sad. I mean, obviously, there is still that, you know, there is still something sad about that, about the fact that a whole bunch of kids work really, really hard to get to something and don't get to realize it. But, you know, that obviously, to put it mildly, pales in comparison to just the human tragedy that you're seeing start to play out and the numbers that you're starting to see. You know, start, like, you know, you see that the White House is saying 100,000 is a goal. You know, that's a best case scenario. That's just beyond terrifying. That's the order of magnitude beyond anything I've ever seen in my lifetime. I think that's more deaths than all in Vietnam, and that's just humongous numbers. So it is really terrifying to see what's going on elsewhere. And it's just like, yeah, the least that you can do is sit at home and have there not be anything. You know, that's not much of a sacrifice to make, considering just what all is going on. And what people that have to deal with this on the front lines in hospitals are going through right now.
Absolutely. Talking with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. He's with me Wednesdays. Yesterday, IU put out a release that all university events, all outside events that are on campus through July 31st have been canceled. A couple things. The state track meet that the IHSA has had now for a number of years on the Bloomington campus. That means if that is held, they'll have to find another location. But even more importantly, from an IU perspective, it's kind of a big deal for coaches. With men's basketball, obviously Archie Miller's paid really well to be the men's basketball coach at Indiana. But those camps allow youngsters in our state the chance to live out a dream. I mean, how many of them are truly going to play D1 basketball? How many are truly going to play at a school like Indiana? But to get to go there for camp, be on that assembly hall floor, play around Indiana players for a week or a couple days, that's really big stuff. And then, of course, from a recruiting perspective, I mentioned in our headline segment today, when you think about some of the recruits Indiana has landed recently under Archie Miller, almost all of them have had participation in his team camp that is held in June. It's either been a 1 or 2 day event, depending on the year, where they bring in teams mainly from Indiana, but some others across the Midwest as well. That's a struggle for IU men's basketball this year. Obviously, it's not at the top of the list as far as how this COVID-19 things has affected IU basketball, but also other sports that maybe don't make the money that Archie Miller or his assistants do. Even a lot of volunteer coaches at the college level, camps in respective sports were kind of how they got paid and kind of why they gave their time to help them with the time they gave throughout the year. So summer camps off at Indiana, it's a big deal for all sports, for all coaches, and, of course, for basketball, mainly from a recruiting perspective.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's just the trickle down is humongous. And at this point, you just have you presume everything is canceled until you find out that something isn't. You know, it's less that point. It's like, okay, presume everything in your calendar is over until someone tells you otherwise. But yeah, no, I mean, like, just it's a significant, like you said, sort of income generator for a lot of coaches around the area. It is something that helps assistants. It helps, you know, graduate assistants, and I'm not sure what all the rules are in terms of who's allowed on there and who's not, but I mean, it's definitely something that a lot of people have used, you know, basically as a way to get started, and it's important for people to pick up. I mean, you know, ex-players, you know, whatever it might be. I mean, there's a lot of ways that you know, working a camp, you know, really helps a lot of guys. You know, gets a lot of coaches more exposure, gets players more exposure, and like you said, it goes back down to, you know, it matters, I think, even for the kids that aren't going to play at the college level, just to, you know, just to get that experience, just to say they got to dribble the ball on the assembly hall floor. You know, the little things like that matter and create, you know, goodwill, you know, school-wide, you know, university-wide, statewide, you know, gets people behind the program. Basically, it helps in recruiting, but it helps in just, you know, keeping the fan base together, all those kinds of things, people having those stories when they grow older, when they decide where they're going to go to college. All those things, is, you know, it is a major thing in terms of morale. So it's a big significant loss. And I mean, I think it's, you know, goes back with everything with recruiting. Everything's got to be more creative. Everything's got to be more distant. Unfortunately, that is, you know, hurts Indiana more than most because, I mean, really, that is still one of the biggest selling points. They just always believe that if they can get them on campus, they can get them. You know, certainly when it comes to the top line recruits, you know, they're seeing a bunch of other beautiful campuses as well. But, you know, Indiana has what it has, you know, from a campus standpoint, from a, you know, Assembly Hall standpoint. I mean, that's a big selling point, is getting to see it. So, you know, they lose a significant advantage when they're, you know, with everybody else and just dealing on the phone. That puts you in a position where you have to just, you know, get by on your, you know, sort of raw recruiting skills and being able to talk to people through FaceTime and through phone calls and whatever. But, you know, part of the recruiting process is supposed to be to sell the school and to sell the program for people to see it. And, you know, that hurts. That makes it a more difficult sell for Indiana because that's, you know, one of their trump cards for sure.
Talking with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, IU campuses close through July 31st. And I know your focus is a lot of basketball, especially when you join us here on the program. But if things keep getting pushed back, this has to become very concerning very quick for the future of college football this season, don't you think?
No, absolutely. I mean, you don't. At this point, you're still seeing – again, I think Andrew Cuomo put it this way the other day, we're not at the top of the mountain yet. You know, this thing is still going up. And so you say, okay, well, if the peak is in June or July, you know, if it's that far forward, you know, we're not going to come down to it by September. We're not going to be able to trust that we can have big events by September. And if that happens, you know, then you've got, then you've got big issues. And obviously, you know, that is the driver for all of college athletics is football. You know, at the end of the day, for whatever complaints you might have about it, bottom line, it gets people in. It's, you know, there's big money being thrown around through TV. I mean, it's going to be really difficult if they can't have a season. That's really going to just throw off the budgets of these athletic departments massively. You're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars for certain programs. That's definitely it has to, you know, right now it sounds impossible to imagine putting 100,000 people in the same place. You consider not long ago, like we basically got down to you can't gather at all except for the people that you live with. How big it was to get down from 100 to 50 to 10 in terms of how many gatherings you were allowed, and to imagine ramping it back up to have 100,000 in the same vicinity just sounds incredible. I mean, like right now, it's just like that would be the worst case scenario for anything. I mean, that would be the amazing, you know, the quickest way to spread this disease was to have a college football game where you have a hotspot. So that would be just devastating. So it's hard to imagine that right now. Now, obviously, you're looking at 6 months worth of time for a lot of people. They're going to have had the disease and recovered by now, and unfortunately, have lost a lot of people as well. So you don't know how that's going to play out. And is it going to spread all over the country? Are we going to get to the point where we can at least isolate it where it's, you know, really popping up now? And get past that point, basically. So it's obviously difficult to tell. This thing has staying power, you know, to be still fully active, 4 or 5 months from now. It's a tough question to ask, who knows? But if it does, you know, then you're talking about a situation that is going to, you know, alter college athletics for a long time.
No question about it. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic is my guest. We're talking college football for a moment, and does it happen next season if the coronavirus continues to delay activities on college campuses? Of course, conferences, many have pushed things out as well, by canceling and making it maybe virtual only, that you could interact right now with your players if you are a coach in really any sport in those conferences. Dustin, I want to continue on with something that I also mentioned this morning in our headline segment. That was an interview that the Daily Hoosier did with Trey Kaufman. In that interview, he was asked about how are you communicating right now with Indiana. And he said FaceTime. He went on to say in the answer that 14 days in a row he's communicated with Indiana, and it sounds like Coach Ostrom, Archie's associate head coach, is the main recruiter there that's been in contact with him most, if not all, of those 14 days in a row. A, that's pretty impressive, 14 days in a row to contact a recruit. And I guess the B point I want to make in this is that, yes, college basketball and college sports are shut down, and you can't go out and watch AAU games if you're a coach. You can't obviously have players on campus visits to get to know the campus and talk about academics and see your facilities. But what you can do is continue to communicate. and continue to work that angle of recruiting. And it sure looks like Indiana making Trey Kaufman a big priority, as we all know, 14 days in a row, Dustin.
Yeah. I mean, they want him pretty bad, obviously. I mean, that I think they obviously see, you know, they've already got Lander in the fold. Caleb First is elsewhere, you know, that's committed to Purdue. So he is the next target, and that's something, an area that they're really going to need a player. Is a power forward with, you know, I think they're operating on the assumption that Trace Jackson Davis is going to make the leap in his sophomore year and be ready to go after that, be ready to leap to the NBA. So they're operating as this is a guy that they need. You know, he's in the state. He's in the southern part of the state. So this is a guy who is just right up their alley. This is the sort of player that they should get. And they're looking at it like this is a must. This is a player that they have to have. So that definitely 14 days in a row. I mean, that just tells you they want him really bad. It is kind of crazy to consider recruiting. You're like, is there anybody that you would talk to? You know, what more do you have to talk to 14 days in a row about at this point when nobody's leaving the house? But no, I mean, it's obvious that they've made him a huge priority, and they're hustling. I mean, there's not a lot they can do. Usually at this time of year, you're looking at, you know, starting to get your set schedule straight for, you know, if you're not in the tournament, you're getting your schedule straight for, you know, the April, you know, recruiting period, what, you know, tournaments you're going to go to, that kind of thing. You're trying to get out and see people. And since you're not, I mean, these coaches can't go anywhere. Just like the rest of us. So, I mean, they're used to being on the road. So, you know, they're calling people. They're trying to get something done with their time. They're trying to just do whatever they can with the time that they have. So it's going to be something like that where, you know, just do whatever you can with your priority every day. And if that means FaceTiming, that means FaceTiming. And at the very least, they're getting across. Trey Kaufman is aware that Indiana wants him bad. I mean, if whether he likes the place or he doesn't like the place, who knows? But ultimately, it comes down to the fact that he knows that Indiana has made him a priority. That is something I think that's going to stick with him when he makes his decision.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joining me on this Wednesday show. Dustin, thanks for the chat. Stay safe, and we'll talk with you again very soon.
Same to you. Thank you so much.
All right, Dustin Dopierak, always with me, does great work for The Athletic, and joins us Wednesdays as we talk IU basketball and more. Don't forget, still ahead, we've got Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. We're also going to talk with Kerry Kimmer. He's the owner of Honey Baked Ham. And after that, we've got our spring sports senior spotlight, our first ever. It's Gavin Siebold of Jeffersonville Baseball. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back, and a lot to get done here in this final segment on this Wednesday program. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with me right now. And Josh, I mentioned earlier, we expect, per what Governor Holcomb said yesterday, an update today or maybe tomorrow on schools. And we don't know if that's going to be, hey, we're going to try to go back May 1st as slated, or we're going to push that date back, or maybe perhaps school is going to be canceled for the entire year. We're kind of waiting to see what that announcement is. He teased that yesterday, that it would be something forthcoming in one of his upcoming updates and press conferences. So I think that decision will have a lot to do with spring sports. Do we see a very short regular season followed by a state tournament in the different sports that are IHSA sanctioned? Or if it's pushed back further or canceled altogether, I think you got to believe that the IHSA will follow suit and cancel as well. So I feel like we're getting closer one way or another to knowing what spring sports looks like, or maybe perhaps doesn't look like, doesn't happen this season here in our state.
Yeah, if he says schools are out for the rest of the year, hopefully that's just an April Fool's joke. There are parents out there like me, but it will be, that'll definitely be
be the big thing if, you know, schools are closed for the rest of the year. Obviously, spring sports will not happen. And then, you know, yesterday I think IU said it wasn't going to host any activities on campus. So IU was supposed to host the state track and field meet. So that wasn't a good sign either. So if they do end up, you know, doing the state track meet, they'll have to find somewhere else to do it, it sounds like.
Just using track and field as an example, if school does get back in, if the IHSA wants to push through a season of some sort, abbreviated with the state championship in each of their spring sports, finding a location. I mean, you think about available tracks, it would probably have to be a high school somewhere, you would think, because if IU's closed, I know other colleges have already pushed campus events back at least to the summer, some as far as Indiana, saying July 31st is the cutoff for now, but that would pose a challenge as well. And, of course, locally, Josh, with all the coaches you deal with, that I deal with, the players we watch and talk with, I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask you to name any off the top of your head, but there are going to be some really talented seniors that have worked very hard for this senior season that likely, if things go how we think they could, aren't going to get the opportunity to run, to swing a bat, to pitch, to swing the tennis racket, whatever it may be, this spring, as they have been planning and training for all through the fall, all through the off season, through the winter, while other sports were getting their glory. Now it's their time, but sitting idle, waiting on this decision.
Yeah, you know, that would be really, really, really disappointing for those kids, you know, especially the ones, like you said, who only play spring sports. Jeff's got Aaliyah Winfield. She was really good in track and field. You know, she only does track and field, I believe, sports-wise. So, I mean, it's her senior year, so that would be really bad for her. Somebody like Natalie Bozing, you know, is a great tennis player for Providence and, you know, could legitimately have a shot at a state title this year. And for her not to have a tennis season, you know, it would just stink all around for all those kids, though.
Talking with Josh Cook, he's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. Don't forget, a lot of the topics we talk about, you can read in the News and Tribune print edition online at newsandtribune.com/sports. Josh and his team still putting a sports page together, doing a lot of feature stuff, a lot of good work right now, even in this no sports period that we are currently in. You're probably one of the best people, knowing you for a while, that as I have, you're probably one of the best people to ask this question to that joins the program as we on a regular basis, as we try to mix some sports and some non-sports and other fringe stuff. During this time, everybody's got a little more opportunity to watch TV. Of course, there's no sports, to watch Netflix, to watch some movies. Sports movies. I know you're a movie guy. Well, give me a couple that I should watch between now and next week when you join us.
Well, I tell you, I was watching the Bad News Bears earlier. You know, that's a good one. Not the old one, but the one with Billy Bob Thornton. You know, it's no Bad Santa, but it's still pretty good. The one sports movie that I would really encourage people to watch, I guess, would be Hoop Dreams. You know, I think it's about 1994, I believe, 94, 95, something like that when it came out. And it was, you know, it was a documentary. It just follows these two kids who grew up in Chicago, just follows them throughout their high school career. It's a great movie. It's really, I can't remember if it's on Netflix or HBO, but it's, you know, I would suggest anybody to watch that. That would be probably number one on my list. It is it's just a great movie. And these two kids, one of them goes to the same high school that Isaiah Thomas, where they both start out the same high school that Isaiah Thomas went to, and then one ends up transferring, but then the other one stays there. It's really compelling stuff.
I'll have to check that out. I have not seen Hoop Dreams, but we'll make note of it and report back with you next Wednesday when you join us. One other thing I wanted to get to, Josh, before we let you go, you guys have been running every day in the print edition, I think online as well, this date in IU basketball history. And it's been fun to read what's happened, especially as we get later into the month of March. Now we're in April. Some of the successes that Indiana basketball has had over the years on certain dates. Hard to beat March 30th. I think Indiana has won on that date three of their five national championships. This day, April 1st, I know that feature continues on. Tell us about this day.
Yeah, it was really tough to beat March 30th, like you said. You were alive in 1987, right, Matt?
Yes, 3 years old.
Okay, good. All right, good deal. Just wanted to make sure. But that was that was obviously the last national title. But that was a big day for kids who lived in this area, because it actually it's a big snowfall that night, and so the next day schools got canceled. So it was like a national holiday altogether for the kids. IU won the national championship on that Monday night, and then the next day on Tuesday school got canceled. So, you know, it was just it was a red letter day. And then, you know, obviously 81 too. I gotta admit I don't remember that, but I was a little younger then. But today is the actual anniversary of the 2002 national championship game. You know, IU's last appearance in the final when they played Maryland at the Georgia Dome. Did you partake in that? Did you happen to go down to that one, Matt?
That was my senior year in high school, and I was on spring break with friends in Florida, and we really enjoyed watching that game. That's where I'll leave it at.
Nice. Yeah, it was it wasn't that memorable of a game for IU fans. It just wasn't a good one, you know, all around. But you know, it was quite a run that team had to make it to the championship game. So that was really, you know, that was a exciting time for IU basketball fans. And, you know, obviously the last time they've been to the championship game. So 18 years later, here we go. Did IU end up winning the simulation Elite Eight game yesterday? I did not see.
They did not. They got beat. I mentioned that last week. Simulation bracket, pretty cool. They actually produced a box score, and I don't know the exact metrics on how they ran the simulation, but Indiana got beat by Gonzaga, and then Gonzaga ended up losing in the championship game. I believe we're talking about the same bracket. There have been a couple different simulations, but I think Kentucky won over Gonzaga, at least in one of the simulation brackets. So, but yeah, Indiana, pretty cool to follow them and see this simulator, what they put out, what the box score said. Very interesting stuff. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Josh, as always, it's great to catch up. We're continuing to talk local sports in a time where there aren't a lot of live things going on, really nothing, but always some good subjects to talk about, always some things happening with our athletes and coaches, and glad to have you on to keep up with it each week.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, Matt, and watch Hoop Dreams.
I'll report back next week, definitely. Thank you for the tip.
Sounds good.
All right. Josh Cook of the News and Tribune. One final guest to join us as we close things out. Don't forget, we still have our senior spotlight for spring sport athletes coming up here as we close things out. But this is a company that has been with us here at the Big X and here on the Hoosier Report for a long time, the Honey Baked Ham show lineup. It's how we begin this hour each day to tell you what's going on in the world of Southern Indiana sports and with Indiana. And the owner of that company, Kerry Kimmer, he joins me right now for a chat about Honey Baked Ham, because I tell you what, Kerry, people know you've got unbelievable ham. I think people know the turkey breast is amazing, but you guys have such a wide menu there, so many good things on that menu to choose from. And I know Chad Gilbert, one of our regular guests, he really has taken a liking to some of the things you have, even away from just the ham and the turkey. But glad to have you with us. I know it's a different time to run a restaurant or a food service business, and I'm just curious how things are going in this time when it's definitely not normal.
Well, thanks, Matt, for having me on. I would have to say, through all this craziness, we have been very fortunate. We own a coffee shop that we have since closed down at this time because of everything that's going on. But the customers that are coming into the store and have been, they know the quality of the food that we have. They know the preparation and the care that we take to make sure that the food is prepared and the service is the best that we can possibly do. With this, I would have to say that we've been very fortunate. With grocery stores running low on products and people realizing that we have meats and different side items, they can come in, do a one-stop shop, and get everything they need for several days. The hams last for weeks. You can freeze what you don't eat. As you mentioned, the turkey breasts are fantastic, and we have ribs that people just absolutely go crazy over. And again, all of our sides. And we've made a lot of changes. We're going above and beyond what we normally do for the cleanliness of the store. We're always ranked in the top five nationally as a franchise store for cleanliness, and we're proud of that. And with Debbie as the manager of the store and the great staff we have, we're here to make sure people get what they need, and we will go above and beyond to make sure that everything is good.
Absolutely. Kerry Kimmer, owner of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. They're located at 3602 Northgate Court, Suite 23, and you can find their menu online. I know you mentioned, Kerry, the ham and turkey breast. You mentioned the ribs. You mentioned the sides, but I want to give you an opportunity to hit some of the other things. I love your soups. I love some of your spreads that you have as well, and I'm just kind of touching on the surface when I mention some of those things, but share a few other things, if you would, before we let you go.
Absolutely. One of the hottest items right now that have been going kind of crazy is our broccoli salad, which is fantastic. We have turkey salad and ham salad. The last 6 months, don't know exactly what's happened, but those have just kind of blown up and really taken off. We have some other excellent sides. We have cookies that are that people really enjoy. Again, we can do all kinds of different things, party trays. Unfortunately, graduations this year with all the kids, it's sad, but that's always something that we've been able to help people with. And with Easter coming up, we understand that people aren't going to be able to go to restaurants and have the Easter dinners. And so we are doing a lot of things to help people accommodate them when it comes to just being at home. We are working on some things to accommodate people when they're coming in and or a curbside service. But you and I can talk about that next week, that we're getting that streamlined and making sure that everybody is able to come in and or come to the store and get what they need for their family Easter gatherings.
Thank you very much, Kerry Kimmer, owner of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, 3602 Northgate Court, Suite 23. You can call the store 812-941-9426. They've been a great supporter of this show, of this station, and we're recognizing not only Honey Baked Ham, but our other food partners that have been with us for many, many years, as we have a different time right now in this stay-at-home kind of quarantine period. Kerry, thanks for the chat. We'll do it again when you want to update on some future plans you guys are working on.
Great. Thank you very much, Matt. Appreciate the time. And it's a great show as always, even though you're having to go back and hash old things up, which is kind of fun.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kerry.
Hey, by the way,
yes,
you need to look up the 1985 track and field championships. I was in it.
Oh, okay. We'll have to talk about that next week. Thank you.
All right. Will do.
Kerry Kimmer, owner of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. You always hear the commercials, your Honey Baked Ham show lineup here on the Hoosier Report. We're going to close things out today with our first ever senior spotlight for spring sport athletes, and you can nominate whoever you want. We want to get as many on in the coming days as we possibly can. But our first is Gavin Siebold. He's a senior at Jeffersonville High School, and he's a really good baseball player. Some of his athletic accomplishments in baseball include being named to the News and Tribune First Team All-Area. Also last year, the Hoosier Hills Conference All-Conference Honorable Mention, which is a great accomplishment in a really, really good area for baseball and a really good baseball conference as well. Gavin is really strong academically as well. He's a member of the National Honor Society, and get this, he's got a 4.2 GPA. I thought 4.0 was perfect. Gavin has a 4.2. Enjoys spending time with his friends, loves to play some pickup basketball. He's not bad at basketball either. I've seen him play, and also working out as he prepares to play college baseball. Wants to give some shout-outs. Shelly Sorg, that was his fitness coach. Jay Sorg, big baseball instructor in the area. Chuck Watson, one of his former baseball coach. I know Chuck, very good guy. Neil Holland, Mike Mitchell, some of his pitching coaches over the years. And, of course, Derek Ellis, P.J. Thomas, Jeff Crawford, and Jimmy Cardwell, the Jeffersonville High School baseball coaching staff. And he wants to give a shout-out to Connor Christopher. He's his teammate and throwing partner, one of his good friends as well. And, of course, his mom and dad for all of their help over the years as he pursues his dreams. Gavin is the son of John and Corinne Siebold of Jeffersonville. After college, Gavin will attend Eastern Kentucky University, where he will pitch for the EKU basketball team. And again, our first senior spotlight, Gavin Siebold of Jeffersonville. Gavin, you've had a great career. We hope you get some senior baseball in this season. Just don't know what's going to happen, but congratulations, and what a great year, a great time you've had playing at Jeffersonville High School. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday program. Back with you tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.